we're saving you a seat at the table. The Brown Roofing Melissa in the Morning Diner Tour. WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
Boy, it got really crowded in here all of a sudden. It's only 6:40 in the morning. Joining me now, we have the president and the vice president of the Stratford Education Association, part of the CEA, the largest teachers union in Connecticut. Mike, oh, I didn't even ask you how to pronounce your last name, Mike.
Fiorello.
Fiorello, exactly how it looks.
That's all right.
That's my thing, though. It's like with the last name Sheketov, I have to make sure I say people's last name right because the amount of times that gets botched, you know, has happened over the years. But I didn't even ask you. We got right into education, I tell you. So we have Mike here as well as Kristen Record, right? The way
Correct.
It looks as well.
The way it looks.
Thank you both for being here. Now, Mike, it sounds like you are retiring at the end of this year.
I am.
You seem so happy.
Look at the glow.
It's radio, so you can't see the smile break out on my face. Yes, right? This is my 35th year of teaching in public schools, both Bridgeport and Stratford.
Amazing.
And it's bittersweet.
Yeah.
But I am.
Of course. Do you have any plans yet? Or you're like, I got to get through this school year, and then I'll figure out what I'm doing after.
I have a few plans, some I can announce and some I can't yet.
Okay, fair. Listen, I respect that. I think that's very exciting. 35 years, and you are currently a high school English teacher.
I am.
Very
Stratford
neat.
High School.
And you like English, yeah.
I love it.
Cool.
He loves it. Loves to read, loves books, all the English teacher things.
I love that. I think that's amazing. And Kristen, you are a high school physics teacher.
Correct.
How long have you been teaching?
I've been 25 years at Bunnell High School in Stratford.
Wow. Thank you for what you do. And also, I don't know if I mean, is it cool if I like brag about you a little bit? Okay, cool. So Kristen was the teacher of the year back in 2011, which is
that's
amazing.
Right.
That's for the state of Connecticut.
I have to interrupt because she won't brag about herself. She was the state teacher of the year, not just the town teacher of the
year.
That's right, for the state.
That's amazing.
Thank you.
I mean, you're kind of a big deal. I just hope you don't forget about me when you leave the diner and you're like, oh,
no,
that
I'll remember
because
I got this cool mug now.
Yeah.
Says Melissa in the Morning.
The mugs are cool.
Here. They're great. You gave us coffee. So hey, that's what a teacher wants.
That's very true. I mean, talk about when you've been working in education for as long as you both have, a lot has changed over the even just recent years, but certainly over your tenure. What would you say have been some of the biggest changes or adjustments you've had to make in teaching just because of the times? I like, to me, cell phones stand out, technology stands out, the immersion of typing classes, all that good stuff, right?
I would absolutely say technology, which cuts both ways. I mean, it certainly helped our job. I mean, I was taking attendance with bubble sheets. I had a grade book.
I loved bubble
sheets.
With
pen and pencil. Yes.
Yes.
I'll just say I'm nerdy. I won't say that my physics friend is
nerdy. I'm geeky.
I'm sorry.
I love it. So you're nerdy, you're geeky, and I'm nosy. There you go. That's us. That's
you're in the
three
right
of
job,
us,
then.
Right? I like it.
So technology, sure. And again, it's great. It's access to information. It's research. It's wonderful. And it's a distraction. So,
yeah.
You know, that's one thing. And we still talk about ourselves being in the post-COVID era. I think COVID broke some things that I think we're still repairing.
Yeah.
And I think curriculum and a lot of teaching back in the day used to be very textbook based. So it was very important to, you know, what was your textbook and giving books out to kids and learning how to take notes from books. And that doesn't really happen now. I have an online textbook in all my physics classes. We use OpenStax. So what gets given, quote unquote, to kids is all digital. We do paper-based work, obviously, in the classroom. But I remember back in the beginning of my teaching career where I would actually have homework assignments where kids would read certain pages out of the book. And that is just not a thing.
Why does that sound so normal to me? Is that because I'm also old? Probably.
Because we're
right,
probably about
we're
the same
old.
Age. That's how I learned.
And if you stepped over to the English class, some things aren't that different. We still assign chapters in books. On paper.
I love that. Good.
So that still does exist.
Good. No, I think that's good. I actually am curious. Now, this would have been more at the elementary level, but I'd love to ask from an English, you know, teacher's perspective. How do you feel that it's not a requirement anymore? And it's been this way for a little bit, that kids don't know how to script write.
My elementary
college.
So sad.
I hit a nerve, right?
Hit
Could
a nerve.
You feel it?
Yeah.
It bothers me.
We represent all the teachers in town. We're both high school teachers. The elementary teachers seem to have really strong feelings about it in both directions.
Really?
I'm agnostic about it.
I'm not getting into a fight with anybody. I'm not doing that.
I take notes, sometimes print, sometimes script. I draw doodles in the margin. I was that kid, and I try to see that kid in my classroom also.
Right.
I don't know how important of a skill it is in today's world. I haven't read the research because I don't teach it. So
right.
I would let the elementary teachers step up on that one.
That's fair. I'm not so concerned about it in the terms of the skill, but I am concerned about it in the terms of access to information. If you think about all of our founding documents and many historic documents, they are written in script. Mm. And if you can't read script, then you have to depend on someone else telling you what it says. Mm. And is that really what you want in a citizen? Like, you should want to be able to read it for yourself and read the word yourself so that you can understand for yourself rather than having to rely on someone else. And so that philosophically, it really bothers me that kids can't read script writing, because when I write in script on the board, a lot of times kids will, what does that say, miss?
Right.
And I will teach them some script letters and things like that. There's symbols that they may need to know for a formula. But I really look at it through like a citizenship historic documents level, that access to information is really dependent on your ability or inability to do that.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I always think of just as long as you know how to sign a check, sign whatever, then, you know, you should be teaching your kids, if they're not learning it at school, how to write their signature. But that's a really good point. The other thing I was always thinking was, I know, you know, like my son struggled with hand strength. And I always thought that script writing really built, you know, your hand strength, grip strength, because you needed it. You couldn't complete the word, let alone the sentence.
To hold your pen or pencil the correct way.
Right.
Exactly that.
And I don't know, like, what that skill, but to me, I mean, that was a skill I got. So I don't know what the deficit would be not having it. But I know I don't know a life without getting that training. I mean, I remember the sheets. You talk about the sheets.
Oh,
the
yes.
sheets of script writing we did in third grade, like it was yesterday. Yes. I crushed that. And so I missed that. I think, why doesn't my son get that? But that's, I don't know. There's been a lot of changes. I don't know.
I will note that you have a bracelet that says Boy Mom on it.
Yes. Can you tell?
I can tell.
I love my boy. It. I do. Yes. But yeah, I need him to learn how to do his name at some point. So if the school won't do it, you know, I have to figure that out. Maybe I'll get some advice.
And when he says, Mom, what's a check? When I sign a check, you won't know what a check
right,
is.
Right, yeah, that's the other thing. Yeah, we're working on it, right? First grade, thank God, and then we'll figure out the rest of the, as it moves on, I guess, as we cross that bridge when we get there, right? Is
that's
that what
right.
they say? Right? We've got Mike and Kristen here, and they are with the Stratford Education Association, which is part of the Connecticut Education Association, the largest teachers union in Connecticut, both the president and the VP sitting here with me, and I'm very happy to have your perspective. What did you guys think? Certainly the legislative session wrapped up this week, and we knew education was one of the things they were going to be investing in. According to Kate Diaz of the CEA, they didn't do enough. I'm curious what you guys are thinking, not just at the state level, but even at the local level. We're finding a lot of towns and cities are really struggling with education budgets.
That's definitely true in Stratford. In the last few years, we have had restrictions, retrenchments, losses of positions, of programs, and we're still feeling it this year. You know, a Board of Education and a superintendent set their priorities and their goals, and they may be very lofty and they may be very visionary, but they're dependent on the town council to pass funding, state funding, educational cost-sharing funding from the state, and federal funding. And not only are we depend upon that money, but the deadlines and the timelines are all different and staggered, and it makes decision making very difficult.
I hate that.
Locally.
I hate that.
We do too, and we have teachers who are moving this year. Luckily, we haven't lost positions, but we say that as it's almost like a sigh of relief, because many previous years we have.
I've noticed that.
And either, you know, some are absorbed by attrition and some are not. Sometimes we're saying goodbye to colleagues. But even more often, we're seeing people pack up their classrooms and move because of, you know, a lost program or a shrunken classroom or things like that. So,
and for us in Stratford, we're, you know, for, this year we're saying, oh, wow, like we're so lucky that we're yes. not losing positions, because we see in the news all the districts around us are cutting positions and teachers are losing mm-hmm. jobs. In terms of what you're asking about with the state level funding, I think the sad thing is that education has been so underfunded for yes. years that even making a big investment in this particular legislative session just puts a dent in the larger problem that exists.
So, I love that you said
so
that.
I applaud the money that has been added into the budget, particularly for special education. The legislation, not only for funding, but to change some of the rules and regulations about outplacement, cap,
because that's
capping
where
the
a lot of that
and
cost
all.
Goes.
Right, and so when you're talking about needing to balance a local school budget, you know, special education costs are, other than teacher salaries and staff salaries and health insurance benefits, the next thing is special education. Right. And that's when that becomes an uncontrollable expense, that's really difficult. So I applaud what has been done this session, but it just puts a dent in the problem. More is still needed. So what I don't want our legislators to just congratulate themselves and think that their work is done, because we will be back next session saying that more is still needed and more attention needs to be brought to some of the issues that fell to the floor and with bills. But it's a good start, but more still needs to be done.
I'm glad that you said that, Kristen, because this is where I can be put into check, certainly as a reporter. And you guys are boots on the ground. You guys know what's happening. You are in touch in your districts. You know what's going on. And you make a lot of great points. First of all, Stratford, with their education and what's happened with cuts and things, I know just from my background, I've covered it so many times. So I was very surprised, pleasantly surprised.
So were
that,
we.
That Stratford was not one of the drama kids, if you will. Like, it wasn't one of the ones that I thought, because I was honestly waiting for it.
Oh, we were too.
I'm sure
I
you
have
were.
Boxes of signs for our protests at
really?
The town council. And my nephew saw them. He said, when's the protest this year? And I smiled at him. I said, yes, you're used to this every single year. And he comes out with me sometimes.
Right.
And I said, it's not happening this year.
Wow.
But that isn't something we shouldn't be patting ourselves on the back
and
celebrating
that. It took effort to get
status quo is not good enough.
Right.
Exactly. And so status quo, stability for a year, like we're at a point when saying stability for a year is a big win.
Right.
And that's not how it should be.
That's a broken system.
That's a broken system when we're saying that stability is a win.
Yeah.
When what you really want is growth and progress and expansion of opportunities and services. Again, I'll applaud the efforts of our acting superintendent, the Board of Education, and people on the town. I think this year, unlike previous years here in Stratford, really good conversations were had from the beginning.
I like to
so
hear that.
That people communicated better than we've observed in the past. And so, for us too, the kids were saying it, but also the teachers, this is the first year in probably about 8 or 9 years where we have not been out protesting something for our town and for our kids.
Yeah, I noticed that for sure. And I love what you said about not taking your foot off the gas either up in Hartford, because this has been... Education has been underfunded for so many years, and there was just no way that they could fix the problem in one session. But it certainly can't be, like you said, where, okay, well, we did something, check mark, and then we move on from it. This needs to be, we almost like what we did with the pensions, we need to be paying back what we haven't invested in with education for a very long time. That's my sort of take on it.
And I thank you for using the word investing, because we definitely feel that way. If you live in, I live in town. I think of it as investment for the future. The children that are in my family, but the children that I teach also.
Yeah.
And there's no way a town can grow without that.
I agree.
So
I totally agree. I want to thank you both for what you do. Mike, congratulations early on almost retiring. Very exciting. And thank you both for being part of the Diner Tour and for giving such great perspective. We appreciate it.
Thank
you. We appreciate you. Thank you.
Well, we love our teacher. So, seriously, thank you for being part of this. And have a great day of school. I realize now you have to go to work.
We're going to school now. But
final exams.
12th graders, we're doing graduation rehearsals. So that's really exciting.
It's a beautiful day for that. That's very exciting. Thank you both so much again. We appreciate your time.
Thank you. Thank you.